Amen. Thank you, praise team. If you would go ahead and take out your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, we will be looking there together in just a moment. As we continue our series in Ephesians, looking at how to put feet to your faith. We've talked earlier about the fact that Paul found that the church in Ephesus had the same problem that many churches today have, and that is they practice a Christianity that only exists on Sunday morning, or the weekend, or even sometimes just at home. And he found that people were having difficulty taking their faith into the marketplace, taking their faith into their workplace, taking their faith into their schools and every aspect of their lives. And Paul said that's a gross misunderstanding of what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. That's not what Christianity is. That may be what religion is, but that's not what Christianity is. It's not something that's contained in a box for a couple of hours on Sunday morning. And it is something that's supposed to pervade every aspect of our life to bring abundant life into everything that we do. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 because today we're kind of wrapping it all up. We're kind of finishing the series. We're kind of tying all the things together. And Paul, in doing that and all the lessons that we've learned, there's a thread that he believes ties it all together. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Now, so take out your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. Or if you're listening online, I encourage you to go ahead and go get a Bible and come back and then listen to the rest of the sermon. Follow along because we do use the scripture and everything that we try to communicate here at Parkwood is from the Word of God. So we'll look at Ephesians 6 in just a moment. First, I want to give you a review. This would be a great time to take out your yellow sheet. That way you don't have to be too far behind. As far as we have done 8 different messages out of the book of Ephesians so far. So today is the 9th one, kind of finishing it up. But just running through kind of how Paul gets us prepared to put feet to our faith is, number one, he said it all starts with your passion. It all starts with the heart, putting your heart into it. It's something that means a lot to you. Many people don't put their faith into practice in their daily living because they don't have a personal faith anyway. They have a faith, maybe intellectual faith. They belong to a church. They do religious things, but they've never moved it from their head to their heart. They're not passionate about it. Now, we know that when you're passionate about something, it is something that pervades everything that you do. And that's important. So Paul starts with that most important thing, and that is, are you passionate about your faith? Part 2, we talked about being his workmanship. God created us, but he created us with a purpose to do good works. We're not supposed to have a lazy faith. It's a faith that works out itself in everything that we do. We also must be united to build his kingdom. One of the critiques of the organized church is that the organized church is totally disorganized. It's fractioned, it's segregated, it's pulled apart, and nobody in the church can agree on anything. But we should agree to build God's kingdom and do his work. And that's what being the church is all about, united to build his kingdom. And then we must believe in a God who's able to do more than we can do. We ought to be about things that are greater than us, be involved in things that are incredible because we have an incredible God. We must take off the old self and put on the new self. We should look different. We should live different. We should think different. We should talk different than people around us that don't know God. I mean, what difference does God make in your life? It should show in the way that you live. And so take off the old self, put on the new self. And Paul summed it up by saying we need to be imitators of God. In that, what would Jesus do? The way to know how you are measuring up and how you are growing is saying, what would God do? How does God feel in this situation? Would God treat people the way I'm treating people? Then there's a design for family. It has to start at home, and that's some of the hardest places to live out our faith for some of us because they know you. They see the dirty laundry, you know? And it's tough. But it has to start there. God's purpose, his design, the smallest cell that multiplies through everything. God created family. Before the church, God created family. Family is important. And we said the church ought to be like family. Does it go the opposite way? The church ought to be like a family. And then we said last week, we must be prepared for spiritual warfare using the armor of God. Maybe some of you are familiar with this passage, which is right before the one we're talking about today, in that it describes the armor of a Roman, because Paul lived in that day, and he says that you've got to be ready for battle. You've got to be ready to stand firm. This isn't going to be easy. That's something we always have to remind ourselves every day, because a lot of us as Christians get really surprised when life gets tough. Wait a minute, I'm living my life right, I'm having my prayer time, I'm going to church, I'm doing things for the Lord, and I'm still getting flack from my boss. That's not fair. Well, who said? Who said it would be fair? Who said life would be fair? Who said life would be easy? In fact, Paul says life is more difficult when we are living the life that God wants us to live, because it's contrary to the ways of the world. To love someone, to share, to not just think about yourself, but to think about others, to treat people with love and respect, to forgive and not hold grudges. These are all foreign things to our world today. What sells? What sells is revenge. What sells is illicit sex. What sells is pleasure. What sells is selfishness. Don't you want to look better? Don't you want to feel better? Don't you want to be more like this? So we've got to be prepared. And the armor gave us some great stuff. Now we come to these verses in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And it's about prayer. And before we actually read it, I want to give you some background on prayer. First of all, prayer is important. The importance of prayer is that it is essential to the Christian life. You cannot have a healthy Christian life if you are not praying. Just like you can't have a good relationship with your spouse unless you speak to them and communicate to them, you cannot have a healthy relationship with the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, unless you are communicating with him, unless you spend time with him. Like any other relationship, if time and communication is missing, it will break down and fall apart. Do you still know each other? Yes. Are you close? No. So let me give you a few scriptures. The importance of prayer is it's commanded. And I just want to run through a few. You keep right there in Ephesians, but you can jot down these references if you'd like. I'm just going to read through them real quickly. And that is Jeremiah 33:3. When I grew up, that was God's phone number. That's what they always told us. And that was, I remembered it ever since I was a little child. They said, you want to know how to talk to God? He's got a phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. And it says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Call to me. God says, you call to me. Talk to me. Let me know what your needs are. Let me be a help to you. Call me, he says in Jeremiah 33:3. In Luke 11:1, the disciples saw Jesus pray and they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus did. He said, this is important. He didn't say, you don't need to know how to pray. Just be good and love each other. He said, no, let me tell you how to pray. And he gave them specific guidelines on how to pray. We went over this. We did a study on the Lord's Prayer a few months back. It's available also online if you want to learn a little bit more about prayer. The Lord's Prayer opens up how to pray to us specifically, how to pray with power. Romans 12:12 says, as he talks to the church in Rome, this is what Paul says to them. He says in Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. In 1 Timothy, he's talking to the young pastor and the church at Ephesus. Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus at the time. And he says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I urge you then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life. Friends, first of all, it's commanded. What is prayer? What's the definition? Prayer is communion with God. It's communion with God, not conversation with God, not just talking, but finding out heart, what God's heart is. finding out what God wants and wanting it with Him. The purpose of prayer is to bring God into the situation you're praying about. It's to bring His perspective in, to bring His power into the situation, and to find His purpose in every situation. Everything has a purpose under the sun. Everything that God allows to come into your life, He can use to His glory. But how and why and all that, that all comes through prayer. God is in control, but it's through prayer that it opens our minds to find out what God wants in this situation and how we can be a part of it. Bringing God in. It's you connecting with God, not just giving information to God. A lot of us use prayer as a big old wish list. And as we get closer to Christmas, we do it even more, you know, just like He's Santa Claus. Lord, here's what I want. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got that? All right, good. We're good. And we look for Him to fulfill our wish list. It's not for you to give information to God. It's for God to give information to you. So what are the parameters of prayer? When do you pray? The Bible tells us over and over again that we should pray all the time. That we should pray not just when we're in crisis. You know, when we're in crisis, that's kind of easy, isn't it? Things fall apart, even people who don't believe in God, boy, they start believing in God. When they're in trouble and they've reached their wits' end, when their back's against the wall, bam, they're falling on their knees and they're, oh, God, help me. Or if there's a God out there, help me. We've seen it, we hear about it, we participate in it. In crisis, should you pray in crisis? Of course you should. But the Bible tells us that we should pray even more than that. We should be praying as well in praise to God, in thanksgiving to God. As we approach Thanksgiving this week, how many people, do we just wait once a year? Once a year we're going to give thanks to God for all the things He does for us. I think you better be doing that every day. Every day, thank you, God. Thank you for the things that you do for me. Thank you for being there when I need you. And when we're not in trouble, it's hard to keep focused on praying. When we're in trouble, it's easy to pray. But what about when things are going okay? We should still pray. Praise God. Pray for Him. Pray with the Lord. When do you pray? What do you say? The Bible tells us that the Spirit intercedes for us in Romans chapter 8. That we can read the prayers of the Bible. We can pray for others. We can ask God to teach us. People come to me, well, what's the right way to pray? Do I have to kneel beside my bed? Do I have to kneel in church? Do I have to be in church to pray? No, you don't have to kneel. Can you kneel? Yes, that's a great thing. Should you physically be involved in prayer? Whenever you can. But the Bible talks about David, the King David, prayed upon his bed when he was laying on his bed. You can lay down to pray. You can kneel to pray. You can stand to pray. You can sit to pray. You can run and pray. You can walk and pray. Now, walking, chewing gum, and praying, I don't know. Depends on who you are. But what's the right way to pray? Any way that brings God into the situation, can you do it? You don't have to voice it out loud, or you can voice it out loud. You don't have to close your eyes, especially if you're driving. But you can open your eyes, but you can close your eyes, or you can look up to the Lord and lift your hands, or you can bow down, or you can lay down, or you can... Friends, the point is, are you bringing God into your life? Are you bringing Him into every situation? Is He there with you? That's the important question to ask. So, what I want to do then is let's read these verses, because Paul says, after we've realized that this is a hard thing to do, to put feet to our faith, after we realize that it's tough to do it in our homes, after we realize that it involves spiritual warfare, he says, and starting with verse 18, if you just follow along with me, and in your Bible, 18, 19, and 20, let's read it. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Would you pray again with me? Heavenly Father, I ask that you intercede right now. I ask that you intervene into this worship service and just allow anything of human work to fade into the background. Through these powerful words, just these few verses, could it be that you allow our lives to be changed? That you would allow us to feel your presence, to sense your touch, to be inspired by you. Please have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that these verses emphasize, I think, is the perseverance of prayer. That is something that is constant throughout the Bible. Whenever they talk about prayer, is that prayer needs to be persistent. It needs to be persistent. It's one of the hardest things that we do when we pray, is to be persistent, to do it daily, to do it all the time, to never give up on it. And so, basically, I wanted to give a few verses to you that you can jot down, but three things about perseverance. First of all, the Bible continually tells us to keep on praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, these are familiar verses to you, most likely. You've heard them before. It says this: be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know, some people say, well, what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for me to do? Well, some things are we have to pray about, we have to think about, we have to make conscious and smart decisions about what we do in life. But there's some things that's God's will for you no matter what. And one thing is, be joyful always and pray continually. Why? Because this is God's will for your life. Pray continually. Keep on praying always. It's practicing the presence. As an old saint of the past said, Brother Andrew used to say, it's practicing the presence of Christ. You know? I mean, when you're together with somebody who you love or somebody that's a friend of yours and you're together, are you always talking? No. Are either one of you always talking? Sometimes you're just walking along and just enjoying being together. Isn't that the truth? You don't have to talk all the time, but you're always right there together. And you know that if you just turn to your side and you just want to say something, they're right there listening. That's practicing the presence. The Lord is with you. He is with you. He's watching over you. He's walking beside you. You don't have to always be talking, but friend, you ought to always be aware. That's practicing the presence. That's praying continually. God is present. That is prayer in itself, knowing that God is present. Also, don't lose heart. The Bible always talks about that. In Luke 18, Jesus tells the parable of the unjust judge. And when he tells them a parable about a lady, a widow, who goes to the unjust judge, and she begs him and begs him and begs him for help, and he doesn't help her. He doesn't want to help her. He doesn't care about her. And she keeps on bugging him, keeps on knocking on his door, keeps on coming, and finally he says, this woman's bugging me so much, I'm going to give her what she wants just so she'll leave me alone. And a lot of us read that and we say, well, I'm just going to keep on bugging God till he gives me what I want. Because he'll do that. No, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is Jesus said, even an unjust judge, even a bad person, if somebody comes frequently to them, they will give in. Your God is not an unjust judge. He is a loving God. If you go to him and you're regular in prayer, he's going to give you the things that you need. Don't lose heart and don't quit. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, don't give up on doing what is right. Don't give up. As for you, brothers, it says, as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. What is good? Praying. I've heard people say in deep crisis, I'm sick of praying about it. Anybody been there? I'm just sick of praying about it. I pray about it, I just feel like that's all I'm doing. I'm tired. Well, all the rest of us need to rally around that person and say, you know what? Keep going. Keep going. I know you're tired, but you keep going. You keep going, and that is when you keep growing. And the times when you feel like quitting and you don't. The times when you feel like giving up, but you don't. And you say, I'm going to hang with you, Lord, no matter what. I'm committed to you. No matter what. you got to keep on. Look at these verses now back in Ephesians. If you're still there, turn if you've turned away. And look in these three verses. What can we learn from these about prayer? There's a section there that I gave you about the power of prayer. And you can see those points, 1 through 4 there, about asking in His name, agreeing with others for anything, asking according to His will, and all things become possible. I gave you verses there, and they're listed right there in your notes because I want you to take those home and realize that there is power in prayer, but there's ways to pray. There's ways to pray. In God's name, for example, is not a magic trick, by the way. You know, we do pray that way, don't we? We always grew up, and you end your prayers with, in Jesus' name, amen, right? Because if you don't do that, then you go, oh, I didn't say in Jesus' name, because that's the magic word. That's like the abracadabra. No, no, that's not what it means to pray in His name. It means you pray for the things that God wants. Well, that sort of takes some of the fun out of praying, doesn't it? You got to pray for things that God wants? I want to pray for things that I want. In Jesus' name means you pray for the things Jesus wants. You're praying on His behalf. It's, you know, you're praying on behalf, His behalf for His glory. Praying for any, agreeing about things, it's important to agree. Hey, let's all agree we're going to pray that I get $1 million. No, we're not going to pray for that. Okay? Oh, why not? Well, that's really selfish and we're not going to all do that. We don't agree. It's harder than it sounds to agree about something. Do we agree about it? If we can pray, God says the prayer is powerful in numbers. According to His will, like we said, thy will be done. And this is the confidence. If we ask for anything in His will, He'll do it. But it has to be His will. Do you want God's will or your will? Because all things become possible. With God, He brings things to pass. I want to pray to somebody who has the power to do something about it. Now, as we look at these scripture verses, what does it say? It says, first of all, pray in the Spirit. The practice of prayer. Prayer is hard work, by the way. You know, in an entitlement-based society where everybody feels like they deserve stuff, it's really hard to pray. Because I'm a child of the King. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I should be driving the finest cars, living in the biggest houses, having all my bills paid, and having people wait on me because I'm a child of the King. That's never in the Bible anywhere. Okay? It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to pray. And you got to work at it. Pray in the Spirit, it says, number one. Pray in the Spirit. It's not, and when it says pray in the Spirit, it doesn't mean some other world, out-of-body experience. You know, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I close my eyes. I hum a few bars or something, and I go into some other world. Praying in the Spirit means what we've already talked about, and that is you're praying for God's direction and for God's desires, for His directions and His desires. That's praying in the Spirit. Lord, I want what You want. Show me what You want. And when I find out what You want, I'm going to pray for that to come to pass. That's praying in the Spirit. And you'll see God's Spirit work through your prayers. It also says, He says, not only pray in the Spirit, He says there, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray at all times. Not just in crisis. We talked about that. Thanksgiving's a great time to think and be convicted about only doing something once a year. You know, in Thanksgiving, we talked about our food closet. The desire and the needs go up and around the holidays, but you know what? People are starving all year round. But at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we all love to help them. But the rest of the year, they can fend for themselves. You see, are we seasonal, or are we Christians that all the time pray at all times? Pray about everything. Is the third thing. Pray about everything. I love it. He says, make all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers and requests everywhere, all occasions. Pray about everything. Some of us are special event prayers. You know? I don't want to know about everything you've got going on, but, you got anything big? Anything big you need prayer for? Oh, somebody in the hospital? Okay, I'll put that on them. I pray for sick people. Pray for everything all the time. Pray about everything that you do. Another thing he says is pray with intensity. I love this. He says, be on the alert. You know what that word in the Greek, it just means wake up. Pray when you're awake. Some of us go into a drone sleep when we're praying, you know. And God bless, and God bless mommy and daddy, and God bless me, and God bless, God bless, God bless. And we got the rote prayer, you know, and we don't even know if we did pray. Did I just pray? Oh, yeah, I think I did. You know, kind of like when we say grace. You know, God is great, God is good, now I thank Him for our food, amen. Or singing Amazing Grace. Or quoting John 3:16. We can do it without thinking. Here he says, wake up. Be on the alert. Pray and mean it. Know what you're doing. Pray with intensity. All kinds of prayers. Be on the alert. What can I pray for? What do we need? God, what needs to happen in this situation? And that drives us to be passionate about what we pray for. And lastly, he says, and I love this, pray for all the saints. Pray for others, just as we prayed for Jesse here a moment ago. Just as we pray for other people. You want to infuse your prayer life with energy? Start praying for other people. In fact, I would challenge you this week, stop praying for yourself. Don't pray for yourself this week. I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll pray for you so you're covered. All right? Now, you don't pray for you, you pray for other people. And every time you bow your head, every time you talk to the Lord, you start bringing up other people and other people's needs. And you start bringing up other people coming to know the Lord and other people's strength and strengthening folks and praying for people's travel safety. And you pray whatever you want, but pray for other people. Make a list. Get out a notebook. Get a piece of paper. And every time somebody comes to your mind, write their name down and pray for that person. And pray for God to show you that. Just don't pray for yourself. And guess what? That is actually the design. God says, I'll take care of you. You take care of other people. It's hard. You know, because naturally we're selfish, whining little children who just want what we want. Just try it. I guarantee you by Thanksgiving Day, by Thursday, you will have a whole new idea of gratitude. I guarantee. Transform your Thanksgiving. Just pray for other people this week. Jesus said, model yourself according to His life. He modeled Himself by giving Himself up for us. By giving Himself up, by not being worried about Himself or His own comfort, but He gave everything. This table, the Lord's table, is a table where we occasionally, on a pretty regular basis, remind ourselves of the fact that what we believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is unselfish, is giving, and loves us so much. And love showed itself through sacrifice. He didn't think about Himself. In fact, from the cross, He prayed for us, not for Him. Oh God, take the pain away. Didn't pray it. Oh God, get me off this thing. Didn't say it. Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Believe in me. Today you can be with me in paradise. This is the Lord's table. If you are here today, we're going to observe it.